Good evening. Welcome to the Alaska City Council meeting for October 12th, 2021. Before we get started, I'd like to read the city's mission statement, which is now printed at the top of each city council agenda and is a good reminder to all of us why we're here. The city's mission is to provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government. Okay, next item is our roll call. City clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Present.
Mr. Tungle?
Here.
And Mr. Tudyakov?
Here. We do have a quorum, all members present. This time, I'd ask Councilman Luby to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. We have in our crowd about 10 individuals. No new members, no new visitors. Next item is item number 5, approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. May I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes as corrected of the September 28th meeting?
I make a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson, seconded by Councilman Luby. City clerk?
And just to let you all know what that correction is, I inadvertently put the minutes for an Alaska Crab and the regular council meeting in one document, and I just separated them. So that's the correction. So you're only approving tonight the September 28th city council meeting minutes.
Okay, thank you. If there's no objection, the proposed minutes are adopted by consensus. Hearing none, they are approved. Next item is a city manager report. I'll turn it over to city manager this time.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. The manager's report is in your packet. Happy to answer questions that you might have on that. I do have a couple of updates in regards to the crab closures and reductions. It's looking like we're estimating approximately a $2.7 million hit to our projected general fund revenues this fiscal year. I've got a call tomorrow with Frank and Jim to dive into this a little bit more and lay out some next steps. I have alerted, as of moments ago, I sent an email notifying the directors as well, so we will certainly get our heads together and kind of lay out some options for us moving forward. The other is I do have a call set up with Alaska Permanent Capital folks on Thursday, hoping to bring some options for council to consider within the next couple of meetings. Right now we're shooting for October 26th or November 9th. The primary goal at this point would be to have council agree on the dollar amounts for each of those buckets. I did hear Councilman Luby at the last meeting really request some different options for those buckets. So we've communicated that to them, and so we'll keep that conversation going. And then the next step after we take it to council and decide on the dollar amounts, particularly as it relates to the permanent fund, then we'll keep looking forward and developing that investment policy statement and distribution policies along with council. So those are two of the primary updates at this point, and happy to answer questions that you might have.
Thank you. Any questions? Councilman Robinson?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, $2.7 million hit to fish taxes. But that's all. We also are going to take a hit in fuel sales. Some of the support industry that is not going to be operating, providing revenues. Excuse me. So it's I'm sure it's a bit more than that. Also, with wharfage may take a hit. I'm going to replace some, but we also have to consider that we probably won't figure out how much of a hit having UNICE and Alyeska shut down right at the beginning of the season until the end of the year, what that's going to be. So I think we're on the right track as far as looking to tighten our belt, because we're going to have to, and I think it's going to hurt. It's not likely that the crab are going to recover very quickly, and we don't know whether the pollock will be any larger next year than they have been, and any closer to us. So we've got a lot to consider. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Robinson, Councilman Coleman.
And I'm going to just follow up with Mr. Robinson's statement, is this is not a one-time thing. So as you are assessing and reassessing, reevaluating our this year's budget, I think this is going to be something we need to be a commonplace for a while. So, yeah, it's just not... It's not just the fish moving over, but it's the fuel cells, the energy to, you know, those reefers to keep those cool. It's stuff, groceries at Safeway. So yes, so please, yeah, consider all those as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any other comments, Council? Questions for City Manager? No, 10 degree, and we need to, when we get down to looking at the budget review, I think we're going to find $2.7 million is really going to put a dent in some of these, our activities. So we will look at that when it comes around. I think we do have an update coming in our next meeting, maybe, or this one.
Well, we'll have the financial reports. Yeah, that'll take a little bit, because right now we're currently in the middle of an audit. So, but yes, I certainly hear you, and we are. Some of the things that we are going to be talking about is looking at not only this year's hit, but then what it's looking like in the years to come. And you know, as council is aware, staff has certainly been trying to tighten our belts the last couple of fiscal years. I fully anticipate this next cuts, rounds of cuts, to be actually a little bit more impactful for the organization and the community. Yeah, we might actually start feeling some of the hurt. So but we're all trying to figure it out together. So.
Hey, thank you. Any further questions before we move on? Thank you. Hearing none, I'll move on to item number 7. Presentations, the fiscal year 2020 audit report from KPMG. I'll turn it over to City Manager to introduce the presenters.
Yes, Council might recall earlier this calendar year, back in March, Jim did the presentation of the CAFR. Due to a variety of issues outside of the city's control, now we're happy to have the formal presentation by KPMG on the audit itself. And on the line we have Christine Krasinski, and she will walk you through it.
Great. Thank you very much. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Fine.
Great. So I'm Christine Krasinski. I'm the Audit Managing Director. And the fiscal year 2020 was the first year that I worked on the audit here. I took over for Dan Rosema, who retired, must have been September 2020. So we had put in place a transition plan based on his retirement, and I was able to step in, and we had continuity with the rest of our team, and really appreciated Jim and the rest of your team's help as we worked through that audit. I was really hoping that we'd be able to be there in person with you this week. Originally, we were hoping to do some on-site field work, but just based on the case counts and kind of where things were with the virus, made the decision that we would keep our team in Anchorage and do a remote audit. But happy to be here virtually with you and able to present the results of the audit, make sure we close the loop on last year. So if you want to skip to the next slide, and then one more to the summary. So that's just an introduction. So this is a summary of the audit results, and in it we include anything that would have to be reported to you as we're working through. So I'll go through a few of the highlights, but then you'll see there's also a lot of items where we have no matters to report. So that's a kind of a positive thing, and if there was something, you would see it kind of pop out here or in the later slides for sure. So I wanted to say that we did issue unmodified opinions on the basic financial statements of the city. And when we're doing that audit, we look at all of the opinion units. So we're looking at the governmental activities opinion unit, business type activities. We look at any of the major funds. And then we also look at the other aggregate remaining funds as an opinion unit. And so we have different thresholds that we're using for testing based on the size of the respective opinion units, and issue opinions on each of those. So we had an unmodified opinion on each of the opinion units, which is the best that you'd be able to have. There weren't any significant unusual transactions that we worked through during the audit. We also wanted to highlight that the school district audit is performed by separate auditors, and we do rely on their audit as we're looking through your component unit there. And so we do call them out in the opinion to let you know that we do not perform audit work, that it's scoped out of our work, but is done separately as an entirely separate audit. And we do get communications from them that they confirm their independence and that they're following the same standards that we would expect them to. And we review and tie out their report as we work on the financial statement review. There also weren't any subsequent events or illegal acts noted, non-compliance, no disagreements, or other significant matters to communicate. At the bottom, you can see there's a few written communications that we have with management during the audit. Each year, we have an amendment to our engagement letter. It really just updates any terms that need to be updated and then refers back to our original contract for the fees and basic terms of the engagement. And then we also get a representation letter from management each year that just clarifies their responsibilities. And it states out a few responsibilities that they have, that they've given us all of the information that we've requested and that they believe the financial statements are correct. So we'll move then on to the next slide. During the audit, there was one corrected audit misstatement. So it was as part of our reconciliation and tie-out process, we had identified that there was an error in the restricted cash amounts and were able to work management to make that correction. So they posted the entry that you'll see below. It was about $150,000 to restricted assets. And then the other pieces were going to long-term debt and other revenue. So this correction was able to true up those accounts to the balances that they needed to be. And we were able to wrap up the procedures in that area. It wasn't considered a kind of a significant adjustment, but was over the posting threshold where we recommended it for correction. If you can go to the next slide. One of the things we do also is look at the financial presentation and disclosure, so looking at all the footnotes in the financial statements. And during that process, there wasn't anything that we identified that was an omission that was either corrected or uncorrected that would need to be reported. That's good news. If you want to look at the next slide. So some of the areas where we spend a little bit more time looking at revenue and the different sources of revenue, we look at the closure, post-closure care liability related to the landfill. We also look at debt and capital assets, as well as investments, including looking at the valuation of investments. So those are a few of the areas that we spend more of the time during the audit. We get various schedules and make sure we understand the process, and then we design our audit procedures, whether it's agreeing out to agreements, looking at additions to capital assets back to invoices, or doing a pricing on the investments to make sure that we agree with the valuation. And so there wasn't anything that came out of the procedures here that we identified that was not in accordance with GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles, or any other errors to report. So you can go to the next slide. Another area is around an estimate in the pension and OPEB liabilities. Typically, estimates, we spend quite a bit of time making sure that we understand the assumptions that are going into it, because it's something where, based on judgment or subjectivity and looking at the various inputs, it could create a large different outcome. So depending on the discount rate, for example, or the mortality table used, the cost of healthcare expected to be in the estimate, it could really drive a different amount of the liability. And here you're part of the PERS, pension and OPEB liabilities in the state of Alaska. And so there's a separate audit that's performed over that plan. KPMG does do that audit. It's a separate team. And then they also perform an audit over the employer allocation schedules. So there's the full plan information, and then there's your slice of that liability that then is allocated to you, and that's part of an audited schedule. So we make sure that that amount that's recorded in total agrees to that audited schedule. And then there's also a allocation to the various funds. So if there's a fund that has payroll, they might get a portion of that liability if it's an enterprise fund. And so we make sure that that allocation makes sense based on the level of payroll. We also just make sure at the plan level that the amounts that are disclosed and the assumptions that are disclosed are the same as that's reported by the plan. And we do involve our actuary to just review that. He's also the one reviewing the plan documents at the plan level. And then we also have a GASB 6875 specialist who reviews the disclosures, just because they're more robust than some of the other disclosure requirements. I just want to make sure that those are accurately stated. So in working through that, there wasn't anything that we identified that required adjustment. The actuary didn't have any comments or adjustments, and the presentation and disclosures were in conformity with GAAP. So no matters to report as we worked through that. So you can go to the next slide. Another piece of the audit is the federal single audit. So this is a separate audit report that we issue, and it's based on the compliance supplement that comes out each year, which clarifies kind of what you need to be testing and which compliance requirements need to be tested as part of the audit. So last year, there was total federal expenditures of about $4.8 million, and about 3.7 of that was related to one program, is the Coronavirus Relief Fund. And so that item was selected for testing. Previously, you probably would have just had the payments in lieu of taxes amount. But the Coronavirus Relief Fund had expenditures that were submitted for reimbursement. And so as part of that, we selected a sample of those costs. We looked at the controls over the allowability, as well as the controls over the period of performance, and tested individual transactions under that to make sure they were in compliance with the grant terms. Another piece of that is looking at the reporting and controls over reporting to make sure that that's being done accurately and in accordance with the compliance supplement requirements. So there weren't any matters that came out of this that were any findings to report. Thank you. You can go to the next one. We also do a separate state single audit, which is governed by the state audit guide and compliance supplement. And this is also required if there's state expenditures over $750,000. And it's sort of similar. It has a different threshold that's used. So we go through each year and identify which grants are over that threshold. You'll see last year was the PERS contributions, community assistance program, the debt reimbursement program, and fisheries tax. And so the total of those major program expenditures were nearly $9.8 million out of total state expenditures of almost $9.9 million. So you can see that we ended up auditing almost 100% of the state expenditures just based on that scoping that's performed. And there's no judgment in that scoping. It's really just whatever the threshold is that the state audit guide states, that's what we're going to look at. A few of the items that we look at are, was it for a public purpose? Is it meeting the appropriate requirements for civil rights and minimum wages? Looking at workers' compensation requirements, that it's not related to political activity, and then a few other audit requirements where we're looking at the amounts compared to payments and looking at just overall compliance with the individual compliance supplement for each program. So there were no matters to report related to the state single audit as well. You can go to the next slide. Wanted to let you know about a few upcoming effective accounting standards. The GASB 84, the fiduciary activities, is going to be effective for 2021. Not expecting this to have a significant impact because you're part of the PERS program or PERS plan and not part of your own pension plan. This would potentially bring any fiduciary activities that are considered a component unit into separate statements in your financial statements. So it would add actually new financial statements within the basic financials. But we'll take a look, make sure there's no other fiduciary activities that need to get brought on, but not expecting a significant impact from the adoption of that standard. The next one is the lease standard. So this is similar to commercial entities where you're going to be bringing on the operating leases as a balance sheet item. And so you'll have a right of use asset and then a lease liability instead of just having the payments coming and hitting expense as they're due. You're instead going to have the liability that represents the future benefit of that lease and a liability to show your future expected obligations related to it. But they're mostly just going to offset. So it's going to gross up those balances in the financial statements. And so that's something that's upcoming. So we'll be working with that, with management to identify what that's going to look like in the financial statements, probably after we wrap up the audit for this year. So if you can go to the next slide. I wanted to open it up for any questions that you might have. And then just also wanted to point out the resources that we have on our website. We have the Audit Committee Institute. And then we also have a government institute as well that has additional news articles or things that are kind of top of mind. So just a few things for you to be able to poke around and check out. So with that, I will take any questions you might have.
Hey, thank you very much for that report on our audit. Any questions for the council? Maybe because I'm concerned a little bit about what our future looks like, but I'm also maybe ask the question, are there any special or single item that in the audit for next year we should be looking at for looking into or watching as we go through the next year?
About that a little bit. I think it's always making sure that as you have kind of changes in the budget and where things are coming from, that if there's just making sure that you're following the same kind of controls and processes to make sure that where expenditures are coming from is still approved and there might be additional pressures or incentives because of those changes. So to just be aware of that when you're looking at controls and and any risks that you might have identified. So just making sure you understand any additional pressure there might be on people to make budget or to present things differently. Sometimes if there's a decline, there might be a pressure incentive to kind of pull more bad things into one year, because it's already going to be a bad year. But so making sure that things are still done properly and by the book. And I'm not that I expect that to be an issue, but that could be something that could be a pressure in that case. And then just as if there's any changes in management, just making sure that you maintain the same segregation of duties and if there's any changes in the accounting department especially.
Okay, thank you very much. Any further questions from the council on the audit? Well, thank you very much for the audit report. Appreciate your the information. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I'll drop off, but I hope you have a good rest of your meeting.
Okay, thank you. The next item is item B, presentations, reports from the federal lobbyists, Sebastian O'Kelly and Rick Marks. I'll turn it over to the city manager for introduction on this.
Yes, Mayor and Council, we have our federal lobbyists on the line, and it is 4 hours later there than it is in here. So thank you, gentlemen, for staying up for us tonight. I'll hand it over.
Yes, thank you, Aaron. This is Sebastian O'Kelly, Mr. Mayor, Council members, and I have with me Rick Marks from our firm. We're going to split our presentation. I thought I'd talk about the broader federal agenda, and then Rick, who works heavily on fisheries issues, will talk a little bit about those issues. You guys are the number one seafood port in America, and as we just learned about what's going on with crab, fish is always at the top of mind. So with that, I think I'll plunge in. I know you've got on your discussion agenda today whether you want to come to D.C. for your annual D.C. trip. We have tentatively penciled in December 6th through 9th, but there's a few issues that you should consider. First of all, the delegation, the congressional delegation, will meet with local communities in person in Washington, D.C. There is a requirement to when entering the congressional office buildings, you do need to attest to having been vaccinated. Federal agencies is a different story. Right now, federal agencies in Washington, D.C. are not having in-person meetings with members of the public, and we do not see that changing. So if you do decide to come to Washington, I think we'll be able to have meetings with the delegation in person, but not with federal agencies. So that should be maybe a factor in what you want to do. If you decide not to come to D.C., we still think it'd be a good idea maybe to do virtual meetings with the delegation in that time frame and do virtual meetings with some of the agencies as well. Either way, it's up to you. We'll work with you whenever you all decide. Brad is not able to be with us tonight. He is on vacation, but he and I and Aaron, we've gone over your federal priorities. They look sound from our perspective, continuation of existing items, as well as a few new projects, too. I thought I would touch on really two major pieces of legislation that are kind of everybody's debating at the moment and discussing and getting a lot of attention. First is the bipartisan infrastructure bill. We did talk a bit about that in our last report. That bill has passed the Senate, and it has been waiting in the House because the House majority has decided to link its passage to consideration of what folks are calling the human infrastructure bill or the soft infrastructure bill. This is the reconciliation package that is an all-Democratic package. And the two are sort of kind of locked hand in glove with each other. So we do know the speaker has scheduled a vote for the infrastructure bill, which he had a vote earlier in September. That's been pushed off to the end of October. So we're still waiting to see what will happen. I think there's a lot of good things in here for Alaska and a lot of good things for un-Alaska. In terms of infrastructure-type projects, there's money for a significant infusion of money to the Army Corps, and I think we have a real chance to get some funding underway for the entrance channel project. There's money for the Maritime Administration's Port Infrastructure Development Program. That funding will be tripled over the next 5 years. That program will require a grant application, and I think your cruise ship terminal project could fit nicely there. So there's other funding in there. Some major funding for broadband. We've $65 billion, a new state program, $42 billion state program for middle and last mile projects, a doubling of the tribal broadband grant program. We just had $930 million around grant applications are closed for that. That funding will double next year if this bill becomes law. So lots of opportunities there. I did want to touch base a little bit on the reconciliation bill. There's a lot of talk about that. The initial package is a $3.5 trillion package of spending initiatives, existing initiatives and new initiatives in so many different areas. This is a really broad scope, this bill. Now, I think we are going to see its price drop. There's opposition by some of the moderate Democrats in the Senate. And so I think the funding level will drop and some of the items will probably drop out of the bill, as well as some of the items that stay in the bill will probably see a reduction in funding. So some of the things you've probably heard of, there's 2 years, 3 and 4 year old pre-kindergarten funding. There's 2 years of free a community college tuition reimbursement that covers any income group. In the Medicare program, they opted not to reduce the age to enter into Medicare. That was something that was discussed earlier on. But there's going to be a phase in for vision care, dental care, and hearing care. So those are all new initiatives. 12 weeks of paid family medical leave, up to about 80% of your earnings. That will cover both the private sector and the public sector. So that will cover your workforce. Child tax credit will be made permanent, $3,600 for children under the age of 6, $3,000 per child between 6 and 17. That's a reimbursable credit. So even if you don't pay much in the way of income taxes, you will get reimbursed from the federal government. So, and it will be set up on a monthly basis. So that's a major initiative. There are some other things in here, though, that I don't think a lot of folks are paying attention to or really dug into, that I think could be of benefit to the city. And there's a few other things you probably might think are a bad idea, but I'll just sort of run them through them really quickly just to give you a sense of how broad this legislation is. There's $82 billion for local school infrastructure, brand new federal program. This would cover new schools, renovations of existing schools, repairs. Almost all of our Alaska community clients have school infrastructure needs, so I think this could be a positive thing from your perspective. Another wrinkle, this is in a different direction, is a requirement that all employers with 5 or more employees must offer their employees independent individual retirement accounts, the 401ks. That is something a lot of folks have not paid attention to. It would be mandatory on the employer to offer these plans voluntary for the employee. Now, you guys are under the PERS system, so any entity that has an existing pension plan, this would not they would not have to follow this. But you know, you have a lot of other employers within the city, probably not aware of this requirement, and and they will now have to offer their employees the potential to opt into an IRA. There's a fair amount of I don't know if it's gotten a lot of attention. There's quote unquote sin taxes in the bill. There's a tax on tobacco, raising the pack of cigarettes from $1 to $2, a federal excise tax. There's a tax, going to be a tax on vapes, $2.20 per pod. Tax on dipping tobacco, on cigar tobacco. There's $300 million in this bill for the Marriott Small Shipyards Grant Program. A lot of our communities have shipyards in their borders, so there'd be a benefit there. That program annually is only about $20 million, so that's a major infusion of new funds for that program. $190 billion for home-based health care for the elderly and disabled. That's a big initiative and a new initiative, so we'll see what happens there. From Alaska's standpoint, the bill will cancel all existing ANWR leases, oil and gas leases, and prohibit future leases. So that's obviously a big deal from the state's standpoint. So, and then here's another little wrinkle, $75 million for conservation of desert fish, freshwater mussels, and endangered butterflies. So it's a smaller item. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there just to show you how broad the span of this legislation is. It is going to see a lot of revisions. It will see some reductions. Some of these things will not survive. I'm not sure the conservation initiatives that I just mentioned are going to survive the final bill. We will have a detailed written report on what makes it, if, assuming the bill does pass. And we will identify areas where we think align with your federal priorities. So with that, I think I've talked enough. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'll let Rick take it from here. You there, Rick?
Mr. Kelly, what is his username?
It's R.E. Mark.
Gotcha.
Remarks, do you see him?
I do now. I've just sent him an unmute request. Thank you.
How about that? Do you have me?
We can hear you now. Thanks.
Okay, good. Thank you. I was muted. I appreciate it. My name's Rick Marks. I've been with the firm since 1997. I handle a lot of the natural resource portfolio. So I just want to touch on a couple of key issues that are moving before us now. Just to give you a sense, the first one is the Magnuson-Stevens Act. The last time we authorized that act was 2006, so we are overdue for a reauthorization, and we are in that mode right now. Congressman Don Young, your congressman, has a bill out there to reauthorize the act. That's H.R. 59, and that bill has received considerable support from the commercial fishing industry around the country. Unfortunately, in a democratically controlled Congress, that bill has not gotten any movement. Chairman Huffman, a Democrat from California who is responsible for running the subcommittee of jurisdiction, has his bill out, H.R. 4960. That bill is getting considerable support from the NGO community. We now have a hearing that has been announced for November 16th before the House Natural Resources Subcommittee. So the situation is fluid. Negotiations are going on behind the scenes. I did a Zoom call today with Congressman Young's staff to help start to get prepared for this hearing, and we're going to do all we can to protect our communities and the industry from a bad bill passing this Congress. I want to touch just a little bit on fishery disaster reform very quickly. We've got two bills out, one in the House and one in the Senate, to improve the national federal fishery disaster declaration process. You're probably no doubt aware, I guess painfully so, that currently under the current process, fishery disaster funding does not recognize the loss in fish landing taxes. And we have been trying to get Congress to address this issue to help specifically Alaska. the two bills that we have out now, both of them would address this problem. So we've been successful getting a toehold in here to get consideration of lost revenues from lost fish landing tax. So we're hoping this legislation passes this Congress, perhaps even by the end of this year, but hopefully before the end of 2022. I want to touch on one other issue here, and that is the 30 by 30 issue. You probably heard it referred to that. President Biden issued an executive order, 14008, back on January 27th. And basically, the administration has tasked the federal agencies, namely NOAA and the Fish and Wildlife Service, to conserve at least 30% of U.S. land and water by 2030. And that process has started in earnest. And the agencies are looking at calculating what protected areas are already in place and what constitutes protection in other areas. So that process is ongoing. NOAA this summer held a number of public listening sessions to discuss this issue and how to get to this 30 by 30 goal. They issued a report called the America the Beautiful Report back in May, which has moved the process further along. And just today, NOAA issued a technical memorandum summarizing so far all of the public comments that they have received on this particular 30 by 30 initiative. So the process continues, and I think there'll be ongoing comment opportunities to be able to submit comments, you know, on concerns about what this may mean for coastal communities and for fishing industry. I want to just touch on one last issue that's been in the news. I suspect you folks are aware of it. It's this issue of the pollock customs issue, where there's a customs dispute that has stranded about 26 million pounds of Alaska pollock in Canada that was bound for the U.S. East Coast. Just very briefly, Alaska product has been moving from Alaska through the Panama Canal to Canada and into the U.S. for years, under a longstanding Jones Act exemption. That's the major maritime law that addresses U.S. shipping. Anyway, a change was made in the manner of transport of those seafood products back in about 2012. Recently, Customs has become aware of this. They issued a series of fines, upwards of $450 million, and stopped all product from moving, and the issue is now before the courts. Just this past Sunday, the court issued an injunction to allow the current seafood that's backed up to be shipped into the U.S. It's likely going to take weeks for the product to move the backlog product, but at least it's going to start moving. But the issue obviously is not resolved. The court is going to have to come to a decision on this issue. So the delegation is aware, you know, we're monitoring and tracking it, but it's in the courts now. And we're going to have to wait to see how this issue is resolved. But that just gives you a sense of some of the things that are going on right now before us in Congress. And I'm going to go ahead and pass it back to you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. O'Kelly and Mr. Marks, for your reports. I'll go to counsel at this time and ask them for any questions or comments. Councilman Luby, then Councilman Robinson.
Yeah, I just, I was wondering, do we have a list of all of the items kind of summarized in, you know, in the $3.5 trillion infrastructure package? Something that just kind of summarizes everything.
There really isn't. It's, there really isn't a comprehensive list at the moment. There's a lot of bill text. It's all together probably close to 3,000 pages of bill text. There are some summaries of some of the committee actions, but there isn't. It's such a big and sprawling bill. There isn't there isn't like a two-pager that we can give you. Now, I can pass on to Aaron some of the committee summaries, but keep in mind that negotiations are ongoing, so some of these items that are in the bill now will no longer be in the bill when it, by the time it gets to the House floor, or they'll be in the bill in a you know, slightly different form or a lower level of funding. So, and you know what we will do is when it finally passes, we'll put together a report, and we'll try and match it with the things that we think are that you guys are going to care about the most, and then we will also try and match it where we identify potential opportunities for some of your priorities. So, for example, in the infrastructure bill, there's an increase in funding through EPA's brownfields program. We know you guys have some contaminated sites that you would like to clean up. That program will see a major increase in funding, and also an increase in project funding cap goes up from $500,000 to $5 million. So with $5 million, you can actually do some real cleanup. With $500,000, you mostly are doing studies. So there are things like that, and we'll try and spell a lot of that out. But, you know, I can, you know, tomorrow morning, I'll go ahead and I'll pass along some of the committee summaries to Erin, and she can forward them to you guys. But I just want to make sure that you realize there will be changes, and these summaries are fairly, you know, they don't capture everything, and sometimes they capture it a little bit too much in terms of the description. So that's a bit of a long-winded answer. I hope that kind of gets to your question.
Yeah, thank you. I mostly just kind of looking for what is in that bill. Like you said, there are some things that some people aren't really paying attention to. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Robinson?
Yes, thank you. Hey, Seb.
Hey, Dennis. How are you?
Doing well. One of the things that we have on this list is an Arctic port development, and that's something that's near and dear to me. It's obvious that we need to gravitate in that direction sooner than later. Hopefully there's some headway in that as far as what the U.S. is going to be doing in that. Another thing with Rick was with the FUDS site cleanup with the Corps of Engineers. It's kind of nice to see that kind of money get in there, because we are the largest. We're the largest contaminated FUDS site in the U.S. And at the current rate that we get the stuff cleaned up, it'd take about 112 years. So we can't wait that long.
Yeah, no. So one of the things that we've been doing with one of our other municipal clients, and this is in the EPA Brownfields program. So these would be sites that have been maybe turned over to you or turned over to the city a long time ago that they didn't go through the FUDS program, or they went through it but are not fully clean. So we've teamed up with this environmental consulting firm that actually will write the grant applications for free, with the understanding that if the community gets the brownfields funding, then this firm will do the assessment work. Now, they don't do the cleanup work; they do the assessment work. So I'm happy to pass that information on to Erin and you know set that call up. This firm seems to have a lot of ins with the brownfields people, so I'm happy to do that. On the Arctic port, I will send some information on to, there was some interesting dialogue with Senator Sullivan in the Armed Services Committee the other day. I will pass that on to you guys. The delegation is, you know, watching this extremely closely. And it's a huge priority. Every Armed Services Committee hearing, Senator Sullivan is talking about it. Now, he doesn't necessarily specify where in Alaska we should have the port. He just specifies, he just says that we should have one. So there's that issue as well for you all to consider. So I will pass that colloquy on to Aaron to pass on to you. I think it's pretty interesting. It just shows you that the attention is still there. Obviously, a lot of this is being driven by the pivot towards the Pacific and the issues that we're having, the strategic engagement and challenges that we face with China. And what does that all mean, and how is that all going to be spelled out in the coming years? A lot of that is yet to be determined, but I think you guys are right to continue to keep this as a top priority, continue to press for the IRT training to be done in Alaska, and continue to work within the state with your military contacts within the state too. So,
okay, thank you.
Great, thank you.
City manager had a question or a comment.
Yeah, I did just want to comment. Our planning director and department have been working on a grant application and for that contaminated site assessment. So we are already on it. So.
Okay, great.
Okay, great. Good. Hey, Councilman Bell.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment too, and thank you for the update on the Custom and Border Protection fines and what's going on with that. I understand that's still early in the process here, and now that it's in the courts, it'll probably take some time to flesh this whole thing out. So keeping up to date on that, I think, is important. It will have an impact on this community. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Okay. I appreciate the update, and we'll be talking again, I'm sure, and before we make the decision to go to Washington to meet with our congressional delegation or not. We'll decide that shortly. Thank you for your report.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and council members. Thank you, too, Rick.
Thank you, folks. Have a good rest of your meeting. Be safe.
Okay, thank you for being with us at this late hour on the East Coast. Thanks.
Sure thing. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that concludes.
You are muted.
That concludes our presentations at this time. We'll move on.
The host would like to unmute your microphone. You can press *6 to unmute.
To adoption of the agenda, may I have a motion and a second?
You are unmuted.
To adopt the agenda, please.
Make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Nicholson. If there's no objection, the agenda is adopted by consensus. No objections. Agenda is adopted. Item number 9, community input and announcements. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council or to make announcements of interest to the community. We have a 3-minute time limit per person. There will also be an opportunity for comment near the end of the meeting. Does anyone present wish to speak? There he is.
Hi.
Mr. PCR.
Mayor and Council, thank you for letting me come tonight. I have a couple of things I want to talk to you about. On October 22nd, we're going to have our pumpkin plunge. That's ages K to 12. $5 to participate in the pumpkin plunge, but go in, swim, grab your pumpkin, go up and decorate it afterwards. It should be a really fun event. Look forward to having everybody come. The next event is our Halloween event. It'll be very similar than it was last year, in that we want people to come, the children to come in, do the games, go through the gym, then go back out. And it'll be on Sunday, October 31st, from 4:30 to 7:30. And then as you go out, we've done something different this year. We've been working with the Unalaska Visitors Bureau and PCR to present a trunk or treat. And so when you come out of the event, you come into the PCR event, you come through it, as you walk out, you should walk out, and we hope it's going to be a good day. There'll be cars out there, and then the kids can do some trick-or-treating. Trying to keep the event COVID-friendly, keep it away from COVID, not COVID-friendly. I don't want them, Kevin, to get COVID, but we want them to come get treats. So, okay, that's all. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. Anyone else wish to speak in the chambers? City clerk?
I'd just like to remind folks that October 20th is the deadline for the second half property tax payments, both real property and business personal property, October 20th. Property taxes are due.
Okay. I didn't hear it's property tax on October 20th. Okay. Due. All right. City clerk, were there any written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or phone wish to speak?
No, sir.
Thank you. Councilman Robinson.
Yes. Taking a look at the Solution Arts Council. Has got a rock-o-lantern deal, and you'll notice that around the community they've got the containers of orange-painted rocks for people to decorate and hide, and the instructions are on those boxes that are there. Just a shout-out to the Lucian Arts Council.
Okay, thank you. Lucian Arts Council.
Rock-o-lantern.
Okay. All right, next item is public comment on agenda items. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to council regarding items on the agenda. If they don't want to wait until the item comes up for the regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, when a particular item is discussed, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Does anyone in the room wish to speak? City Clerk, do we have any written comments submitted on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
Thank you. Move on to the next item is the consent agenda, on which there are two items. Absent a request by council member to move one or more items to the regular agenda for discussion, the consent item is adopted without discussion and with a single vote. Those items are Resolution 2021-66, authorizing the city manager to enter into an off-cycle community support program grant agreement for the Unalaska chapter of Alaska State Firefighters Association. And item B, Resolution 2021-67, identifying the City of Unalaska's federal priorities. Request the...
I'll make a motion to adopt this consent agenda.
Move by Councilman Robinson.
Second.
Who is it? Councilman Coleman. Seconds. Request a roll call vote, please.
Coleman?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tungel?
Yes.
And Luby?
Yes.
Roll call vote of 6-0 passes the consent agenda of two items. Item 11. We are now on a regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak must sign up with the city clerk, and there's a 3-minute time limit per person. First item is the Resolution 2021-68, establishing a community-wide COVID-19 protective measures. May I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2021-68?
Move to adopt Resolution 2021-68.
Second.
Move by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Robinson. I'll turn it over to the city manager at this time.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. A little bit of an update. At this point in time, as of this morning, we had 3 known COVID cases here on the island. All 3 of those are community cases. The most recent wastewater surveillance results are undetectable for any COVID-19 viral load, which is what we want. so that's a good sign. So right now we remain at local low risk level. So before you this evening is the next round of COVID-19 protective measures for the community. This resolution is set to expire on October 27th, which will be revisited on the regular scheduled October 26th council meeting. Because of our local risk level, the resolution now encourages rather than requires face coverings, and this is consistent with our COVID-19 response plan. So Melanie should be here on the line if you've got any questions for Melanie with the clinic. Of course, I'm here to answer questions that you might have as well.
Thank you. Any questions from council? Councilman Robinson?
Have there been any new cases since the last update?
So right now we're updating the cases on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday, when we announced the cases, we were announcing one additional case. So that total number of cases had gone down to two since that Friday announcement, and then we added one over the weekend. And I don't have any additional information for anything that would have popped up since then. But Melanie might. Okay.
Melanie?
One additional person dropped off and one was added yesterday.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Robinson. Any further discussion by council? Councilman Robinson?
Yes, this is exciting. I fully support this. As I said in previous meetings, nobody likes wearing a mask, but it is proven to work. And we are proof that it does work. And I think, I'm just hope that we can maintain this. I know I'll continue to wear masks in public because I care. So thanks.
Hey, thank you. Councilman Robinson, a further discussion from council? Hearing none, City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
At this time, I'll restate the motion. The motion and second to adopt Resolution 2021-68. I'll request a roll call vote.
Certainly, sir. Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
A vote of 6-0 in favor of Resolution 2021-68 has been approved. Next item is Resolution 2021-69, adopting the City of Unalaska's primary focus areas. May I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2021-69?
Move to adopt Resolution 2021-69.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Robinson. I'll turn this over to the City Council for introduction.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. So based on City Council strategic planning session, follow-up discussions that we had earlier in September, and work that city staff has already begun based on council's direction, this resolution identifies three primary focus areas, but references the other ideas that council identified in the strategic planning session. That list of ideas will serve as a framework for staff to explore how we might be able to incorporate operationally. So the three primary focus areas that I've identified for council to consider in this resolution are to capitalize on the trilateral agreement and industry partnerships, develop an Arctic port, and promote organizational efficiencies and fiscal sustainability. Staff recommends approval, but certainly ultimately deciding on the primary focus areas is council's decision. So happy to answer questions that you might have, but ultimately I think this is a conversation that council needs to have.
Thank you, City Manager. Councilman Robinson, then Councilman Coleman.
Okay, thank you. I'll go. So first off, I know there's a segment of this that the public was not aware. We spent a couple of days going over a lot of stuff, for lack of a better word. But anyway, and then we had a lengthy meeting about 4 weeks ago, I guess it was, about regurgitating all this and coming up with it. I would like to say I think you did a very good job in summarizing what I feel is the sentiment, well, my sentiment of how this should all go. And I think in light of our most recent development, the top three that you have here are going to even play a bigger role in where we need to go from here. So I think, you know, we didn't know then what we know now, and I think those decisions that we made then are definitely going to really help us move forward with these areas of focus are really going to be important now. So thank you for putting this together. I think it was well done.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're up now.
All right.
Councilman Robinson.
Thank you. Arctic Port, I think we, like I said earlier, we need to pursue this earlier than later. I think one of the methods in doing so is following one of the things that we did back in the 80s to attract businesses to the island. And basically that was to make, back then we used a video and took that to DC, to the state, to Fish Expo, and all that. But I think as far as an Arctic port, this port's already, you know, the Arctic port is already built. It's already here. And I think we should probably look at taking and partnering with industry, what industry we have, and the dock owners, and putting this together something that what we can offer and what this port's all about, you know, a branding, and get that to, you know, our legislators, our congressional delegation, the governor, I mean, everybody we can, Department of Defense, Coast Guard, everybody. But I think that's something that we need to look at expending a little bit of money on, and sooner than later. So that's, and I also think that we have a federal priority of a cruise ship dock. But somebody's going to have this discussion sooner than later that if we're going to be attracting tourists in here, the community cannot smell like a cesspool. This year was probably a little more noticeable than previous years is due to being calm and warmer. But that god-awful smell, something, you know, I don't want to shut industry down, but something needs to get done about that if we're looking at tourism. Because, God, some mornings you get out there and gag. It was pretty heavy. And so, yeah, that discussion is going to have to come in the future here, in the near future, as to what we can do to maybe curb some of that smell. Thanks.
Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I agree. The smell gets pretty bad sometimes. It's always kind of been a running joke. It's the smell of money. That's what you tell tourists, right? anyway, with that, I think it's super, super. First off, thank you very much. It is very nice, nicely presented, and Councilman Coleman said it, you know, you did a really nice job of summarizing what we did. So thank you so much for that. I think it's super, super important that we really concentrate with OC and the tribe and really put our heads together and see what can we do, because it's going to take all three in order to build the Arctic port. Everybody's so tied together that I think that's super, super important in working in that. And then, and we can't forget the industry and, you know, businesses around town. They also can contribute a lot to building the Arctic port and just making the community better as a whole. And one thing on my list of things that I would love to see more with the collaboration, with the partnerships with OC, the tribe, the industry, small business, everybody, is to try to get an imaging center here. I mean, that would be super nice to have. So that's kind of not part of our priorities so much right now, but it is a priority. Just to be, if you're going to have an Arctic port and you're going to have military here, if you're going to have more people, you're going to need some more services. So maybe that's something that we could look at too. So anyway, I think, you know, it's going to take OC and to help us develop housing, which is going to be a huge part of all of these goals as well. They own most of the land, and if there's some way to partnership with them or, you know, work with them to open up some land for housing would be great. And those are just kind of some of the things that I see as part of the priorities that working on, so that would go into this. And thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Anyone else? Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilman Luby was stating, we do need housing for infrastructure and everything that we're, as we're moving forward and with these capital projects and stuff, the Arctic ports, there's a lot of important things we need to look at and to make sure everything's happening. One of the big things is the landfill and stuff with the gasifier. That's something that, you know, how soon are we going to do that? Because the landfill is filling up very quickly, and the gas fire is an important piece to start, you know, making some of our waste go away as well. And the Captain's Bay Road project, I had somebody come into my office last week, and it was very nice to sit there and have them asking questions on why we need this done, and to possibly just, you know, take smaller pieces, make it affordable, you know, a little piece at a time. And that's something that hopefully we can move forward on the Captain's Bay Road project. And definitely, let's not forget about the airport. That's something that we definitely need to start looking at. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I'll just make a real quick comment as far as developing the Arctic port. I think it's pretty clear that council, that's pretty high on council's list of things that need to get done. And I would agree with Councilman Robinson that, you know, we need to do some kind of advertising. And if it costs some money, you know, that's what it's going to do. But to get it out to the rest of the world, as if, so to speak, that, you know, there is an Arctic port here and we're here to, you know, to develop future businesses or Coast Guard presence or any of those. So, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Tungle, Comer.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I want to thank the staff for putting this together. You know, after going through the 2 days of strategic planning on how to learn how to put all this together, with a SWAT. So it's a good, they put together what we really discuss and focus on when we did those 2 days that we get together and put together our mind. And putting this together sure showed that we all in agreement on what we want to accomplish. So I like what they put together, and I'm happy with the outcome of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Okay. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
On Resolution 2021-69?
No.
Thank you. Motion has been made to approve Resolution 2021-69, adopting the City of Unalaska's primary focus area. A roll call, please.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Looby?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 6-0, Resolution 2021-69 passes. Our next item is item C of 11. Approve the travel for the mayor and city council. Federal lobbying efforts in Washington, D.C. May I have a motion and a second to approve the travel for mayor and up to 3 council members to travel to Washington, D.C.
I'll make a motion to authorize the mayor and 3 council members to travel to D.C.
I'll second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson. Who second? Councilman Looby. At this time, you know, 3 people who could travel besides the mayor, and I guess we'll go down. Who wants to go?
I would like to make that trip.
Councilman Robinson? No? That's it, I guess.
If there's no other takers, I would take that trip.
Councilman Bell? Okay. Looks like 2 councilmen, the mayor, Councilman Robinson, and Councilman Bell. At this time,
make a motion to amend it to add myself, Tom Bell, and Mayor Kudikoff.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson to amend. Who seconded? Councilman Coleman. And names to be included under that on the amendment is Councilman Robinson and Councilman Bell and Mayor Tweedgoff. A roll call vote on the amendment.
Looby?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 6-0, the amendment passes. On main motion, to allow the mayor and up to 3 council members, and named individuals are Councilman Robinson, Councilman Bell, and Mayor Tweedkoff. On the main motion, roll call, please.
Bell?
As amended.
Yes.
Looby?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote on the amended motion, the vote is 6-0 in favor of, and approval for travel to Washington, D.C. has been approved. Next item is to approve the travel for mayor and council to the annual meeting of the Alaska Municipal League and affiliate organizations in Anchorage, Alaska. May I have a motion and a second to approve the travel for the mayor and up to 3 council members to travel to Anchorage for the annual meeting of the Alaska Municipal League and affiliate organizations?
I'll move to approve travel for the mayor and up to 3 council for the annual AML meeting in Anchorage.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. We need to determine who's going to travel for the council. Is Councilman Robinson?
Yes, I am a current AML board member, so I will need to be able to go there. And I'm also, my seat is up, and I would like the authorization to to be able to run again on the city, on behalf of the city of Unalaska for Region 9 it is now.
Are you willing to travel, in other words? Okay. Councilman Robinson? Anyone else? Okay. Councilman?
Yeah, I won't be able to actually attend it, but I will be attending the newly elected officials by Zoom here. I just won't be able to travel to Anchorage for that, so.
Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah, I did see that. Appreciate you doing that. Thank you. All right. It'll be, at this point, it'll be the mayor and Councilman Robinson to attend the Alaska Municipal League meeting in Anchorage. City clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Restate the motion to approve the travel for Mayor and Councilman Robinson to attend the annual meeting of the Alaska Municipal League and affiliate organization in Anchorage, Alaska. Roll call vote, please.
Coleman?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Luby?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
On a vote of 6-0, the approval for the mayor and Councilman Robinson to travel for the Alaska Municipal League and affiliate organizations to Anchorage has been approved. The next item is the Canvas Committee report for October 5th general election and certificate of election result. I'll turn it over to the city clerk to present the report of the Election Board and Canvas Committee.
Thank you, sir. So you'll all see in your packet that I did provide you a copy of the Canvassing Committee report. The Canvassing Committee was Councilmember Robinson, City Clerk Admin Assistant S. Carlin Magdayong, and myself. And we reviewed all of the ballots that were cast on Election Day, and then we also reviewed the questioned ballots, all of the absentee ballots, and one special needs ballot, and put all the results together, which you saw attached to that Canvas Committee report. The election went great. All of the volunteers did a wonderful job, and I do recommend that you folks certify the election results as I presented. And I'm happy to answer any questions if you have them.
Thank you, Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I don't have any questions, but I did want to say I wanted to thank everyone for that ran, and I appreciate having opponents. It gives everybody, all the voters, a choice, and I think that's very important that the voters have a choice. So I just wanted to say thank you for anybody that, you know, runs, and then also to all the voters out there that came out and voted. That's very important as well. It lets you have your voice heard. So thank you so much for everybody. It was a great election. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Councilman Luby. Well, this time I request a motion and a second to approve the certificate of election as presented.
Make a motion to approve the certificate of election as presented.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson and second by Councilman Luby. Council members wish to discuss the certificate of elections. Councilman Robinson.
One issue on there, and maybe this is not the place, but ballot question 3 on the sales tax. I think we are going to have to, at the next meeting, bring up the raise in the utility rates that we need to do to get us in compliance or to get us to that 1.25 rate ratio that we need to get. So to be able to cover the utility rates as you proposed and we shot down, or are these good for the next 3 years? Maybe this is not the place.
Yeah, I think that's coming on our next meeting when we talk about the tax issue and where we're at with that since it's failed. Thank you. All right. Is anyone, the one from council, discuss that? Councilman Coleman? Okay. Well, city clerk, has anyone signed up?
No, sir.
For public comment? I'll restate the motion. To approve the certificate of elections in the city of Unalaska for October 5th, 2021. Roll call, please.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Looby?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
And Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
On a vote of 6-0, the election, a general election and certificate of election results have been approved by this council.
And Mr. Mayor, we are to enter this on the record, so if you would like, I will read that certificate of election real quick.
Yes, please.
All right. With this unanimous vote by City Council, Deneen Looby is elected to City Council seat CCD to complete the remaining year of the term for seat CCD expiring in October 2022. Alejandro Tungle is elected to City Council seat CCF for a three-year term expiring October 2024. Sherry Coleman is elected to City Council seat CCG for a three-year term expiring October 2024. Carrie Mahoney is elected to School Board seat SBA for a three-year term expiring October 2024. Nicole Bice is elected to City Council, School Board seat SBD to complete the remaining year of the term for SBD, expiring October 2022. Danielle Williams is elected to school board seat SBE to complete the remaining 2 years of the term for seat SBE, expiring in October 2023. Ballot question one, seeking to limit the powers of the city manager and city council to act in the case of a declared epidemic disaster, fails. Ballot question two, seeking to limit the powers of the Director of Emergency Preparedness to act in the case of a declared epidemic disaster, fails. Ballot question three, seeking to increase the rate of sales tax by 1.5% with revenue to be used to offset the operational expenses of city utilities to mitigate future rate increases and thereby reduce customer utility bills, fails. Thank you very much, sir.
Well, thank you. And we will be discussing that ballot question three, I'm sure, because of the news we just heard this evening that we're $2.7 million in lost revenues for the coming year. And we need to adjust that and find it to replace that cost. Okay. Council directives to the city manager. Are there any directives? Need a motion, second, to that will be one of them. We just talked about it. Thank you. There is no directives. Community input and announcements. Last chance for the people to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Yeah, I'd like to say congratulations to the council members that were re-elected back to the council. Shows this community wants continuity and not divisiveness, and I look forward to working with you to finish the remainder of your terms. Thank you. Councilman Robinson?
Yeah, and I'd like to thank the community for voting down the two measures that that help this community run efficiently and in the face of a pandemic. And thank you. Just thank you.
Hey, thank you. Okay, does anyone in the council chambers wish to speak? City clerk, any written comment or by people on the phone or Zoom?
No, sir.
Thank you. Time has showed up. Having completed all items on the agenda, this meeting is adjourned at 7:30 p.m. Good night, Unalaska.